This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an energetic tribute to the Queen of Rock and Roll, a carnival ball with a higher purpose, or a unique contemporary dance performance, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. New Orleans jazz vocalist Anahis St. John returns to the Joy Theater for a live tribute to the Queen of Rock and Roll with the debut of Simply the Best, the Tina Turner Story. Anahis is in the house. Welcome back.
Thank you, Diane. I'm glad to be back.
Your shows are so much fun. This one comes on the heels of your critically acclaimed Donna Summer tribute and your tribute to Eartha Kitt. How do you tell the Tina Turner story?
Well, I tell it with truth and a lot of guts, because she is so different from the other women I've been able to put to life through these shows. Eartha Kitt was by far the closest to what I naturally do as a jazz singer, and the style is sort of smooth, and a lot of her material was something I was already doing. Then I stretched out to Donna Summer and disco because it was fun, and I got to learn about her powerful voice, but primarily Donna Summer was a singer. She didn't really do much dancing. Jumping into Tina Turner was really a stretch for me and really a challenge. First of all, I am a huge, huge fan, have been for a while, and to be able to bring her story to life was incredibly intimidating for me, because I knew that to do justice to this woman who embodies so much raw, powerful emotion and feminine empowerment, I would really have to go to a place that I haven't done yet and do it justice.
Sometimes it's good to get out of your comfort zone.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I am out of my comfort zone, but it's so exciting. I'm so glad. You know, I could sit back and I could relax and I can do things that I always do, or I can find something that is compelling and something that is challenging. And that something and that someone is Tina Turner.
Now, is this an all-musical review?
It is going to be music with a 7-piece band, 2 backup singers. There's also, of course, me telling the story, along with video to enhance the story. There are dancers.
What aspects of Tina's life will you focus on?
The show is done chronologically, from her upbringing in Nutbush, Tennessee, to how she moved to St. Louis with her mother and was able to meet Ike Turner while he was playing there with the Kings of Rhythm. And it moves through how she became Tina Turner, how Anna Mae Bullock became Tina Turner, and how her life progressed as a performer with Ike's band and the Ike and Tina Turner Revue. And then through the transition of what happened after she left Ike and where she was able to go with her career until the present day. Because, of course, we're speaking of present-day Tina Turner. She is alive and vibrant and living in Europe. It's really a celebration of the decades of her music and of her story.
What are some of your favorite songs?
Well, my personal favorite is Private Dancer. I am a child of the 80s, so the Tina Turner music I began to listen to initially were the songs that were played on the radio.
Well, the men come in these places, and the men are all the same.
When I was in school, and I just remember that song being very sexy. I also noted through that song the incredible power of her range, how she was able to sing in her very low register and then flawlessly belt up with power and force. Some other songs I really love are some of her Ike and Tina Revue songs, some of that old R&B.
Oh, there's something on my mind. Won't somebody please tell me what's wrong?
Such as A Fool in Love, where she's singing R&B music, classic soul with backup singers, but she's also singing it with this growl that almost sounds as if she was a man, which is interesting because the part that she sang was originally supposed to be sung by a man who didn't show up for the recording, and that's how she got to sing that part in A Fool in Love. Her material just has such, ranges so many different genres. I mean, from R&B to funk to blues to what she has currently embraced, which is rock and roll and I love rock and roll. And I think that, you know, her audience definitely widened when she opened herself to performing rock and roll music. But it all fit who she was as a performer from the very beginning.
Tell us a little bit about your musical background and growing up in New Orleans. You're a music teacher.
I teach music at Trinity Episcopal School, first through eighth grade music. My background started out in the church. I grew up singing in a Black Catholic gospel choir at Corpus Christi Church, and then moving on to school musicals, the choir, and then I got a master's in opera and sang with the New Orleans Opera Association for many years. After that, moving on to jazz, cabaret, and musical theater. So, you know, my experience does span lots of genres as well. But now as an adult, as a 44-year-old woman, I'm still broadening my horizons. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do Tina, because this music is something that I really have never stuck my big toe into. And it's been very, very exciting.
Now, tell us about your dad. He was a well-known jazz musician. How did he help your career?
That's right. My father, Marion Brown, was, he's deceased now, alto saxophonist in the 60s. He played with the avant-garde jazz movement. He was also a musicologist. He played with John Coltrane and Archie Shepp. I was raised by a single mother. My mom raised me here in New Orleans. My father and I really didn't develop a relationship until I was in my 20s. I knew about him and I'd listened to his recordings. His influence obviously came from him being my father and passing along the musical genes. So I can appreciate what Marion Brown passed along to me musically.
Now, getting back to the show, is this going to be a high energy show?
It's going to be so high energy that I had to do extra training for the show, hiring a personal trainer to make sure that I'm ready to bring the energy. It's going to be contagious. You come to this show, you're definitely going to be rocking and rolling.
Jazz vocalist Anais St. John, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
The Joy Theater and Jonathan Merez Productions present Simply the Best, the Tina Turner story featuring jazz vocalist Anais St. John, Friday evening at 8 at the Joy Theater. The Link Strajewski Foundation kicks off its third annual Balmasque this week. World-renowned chefs are in town for this Mardi Gras celebration where revelers mask with a mission to break the cycle of poverty and violence for New Orleans youth. Joining me is Foundation co-founder Chef Stephen Strajewski. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
How did the idea for this carnival celebration come about?
We came up with this idea in conjunction with creating a foundation to help youth in New Orleans. We have been longtime residents of New Orleans and participated in several carnival organization type events. And we wanted to throw something that was open to the public and a little bit different, a little less stodgy, maybe a lot less rooted in tradition, really a big party, a masked ball party.
This is a carnival celebration with a mission.
It is, most definitely.
Tell us about your association with Chef Donald Link, how you two guys got together, and what is the mission of the foundation?
Donald and my relationship started 13, 14 years ago at Herb Saint. I started at Herb Saint as a line cook and worked with Donald for a number of years at Herb Saint, and then on trying to develop a new restaurant and that became Koshan. He and I are partners in Koshan and Butcher and Calcasieu and Pesh with Ryan, and in the process of opening a new restaurant with Rebecca, who's the chef at Herb Saint. So it's just grown. Of course, with that many restaurants and so many fundraisers that go on in New Orleans, we were tapped a lot to help raise funds for all different things going on in the city. It just got to the point where Donald and I started having a conversation about where we wanted to focus our efforts to raise money and how we wanted to spend our time on raising funds for organizations in the city. And we focused it on youth organizations. There's lots of people that are doing amazing programming in the city, but don't necessarily have the funds to continue that programming. And so we wanted to be able to focus our fundraising on raising funds for youth organizations.
So tell us, how are you making a difference in the lives of underserved youth in the community?
Personally, we were just over at Kingsley House. They have a Link Strajewski Foundation kitchen that they dedicated to us that we helped them organize and build over in their new Patrick Taylor building. We've been working on Head Start programs, and we've been working with people like Sonny Lee, who does Son of a Saint, which is an amazing organization that provides mentorship to children that have fathers that are incarcerated or are no longer with us. Roots of Music is another amazing organization. The scope of what they are able to do at Roots of Music is just insane. They pick the kids up from school. They offer them tutoring in school subjects. They offer them tutoring in music. They provide them snacks and dinner and drive them home. I mean, there's so many great things going on in the city of New Orleans. It gives me great pleasure to be able to help them be able to do what they do so well. These organizations, they teach people how to be better citizens and just how to have a better life for themselves and how to help themselves better in the future. And so that is where we really wanted to focus our energies.
What's been the success so far?
In the last 2 years, we've been able to donate over $250,000 to different organizations here in the city. It's been hugely successful.
Who are the young people that are being served?
It's all socioeconomic demographics. It's all different organizations.
So now you're putting your culinary skills to work with the third annual Bal Mosque. What happens there and what can we look forward to?
It's an amazing party. This year we're going to have four different bands, the Chawa Mardi Gras Indians, which always bring it. They're an amazing group. They've played the last 2 years. Roots of Music, who have also played. This is their third year to play with us. They bring the whole band out. It's like 120 students. It is a ridiculously large amount of kids, and they're great. Our headliner is going to be Ram. This band from Haiti, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The videos are amazing that I've seen, so I'm super excited to see them live. And then from Lafayette, the Lost Bayou Ramblers. We're kind of focusing on this Caribbean carnival kind of feel and several different influences of carnival, you know, the Lafayette Mardi Gras, Cajun Mardi Gras.
De Mardi Gras.
Yeah. And the Caribbean Mardi Gras celebration with Ram out of Haiti and of course, the Chawas celebrating the New Orleans Mardi Gras tradition.
And you've got several renowned chefs who will be headlining.
We do. We have a whole bunch of chefs that are friends of ours that are coming in from around the United States. Paul Kahn out of Chicago with Publican. Mike Latta from South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. Andrea Rusing from Durham, North Carolina. Nancy Oakes from San Francisco. Suzanne Goyne from L.A. Richard Reddington from Napa, from Yountville. And Maggie Scales from Link Restaurant Group. She's our pastry chef. It's a walk-around event. The chefs are preparing dishes that are, you know, small bite size, two or three bites.
Now, what is the attire at this big carnival bash?
Costumes. It is a black tie event. It's a masked ball, of course, like in the very old tradition of the masked ball. Lots of people wear very traditional masks and, you know, a tuxedo. I'm more of the costuming side of the...
What are your thoughts as you look to the future of the foundation and our city's youth?
I would like to see that the money that we're spending now as a foundation helps create a more positive future for the youth of New Orleans.
Chef Steven Strajewski, thanks so much and happy Mardi Gras.
Thank you very much.
The Link Strajewski Foundation kicks off the third annual Bal Mosque at the Sugar Mill, 1021 Convention Center Boulevard, Saturday evening at 7. More info at Link Strajewski, STRYJEWSKI.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. For more than 30 years, the Urban Bush Women, a New York-based contemporary dance company, has been engaging audiences on issues of social justice, race, the African diaspora, and women's matters. The dance troupe has worked with New Orleans-based Junebug Productions and the Contemporary Arts Center, and they are heading to the Crescent City for a performance of Hair and Other Stories. Event spokeswoman and Junebug Productions Executive Artistic Director Stephanie McKee is here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
How would you describe the Urban Bush Women?
Strong, relevant, and sassy. Describing the type of work that they do and the women that are a part of the company, including the executive director, Jaole Willa-Jozoller. The work that they do is thoughtful. It is informed by politics, body politics, hair politics, racial inequities, and is really meant for us to see ourselves on the inside of that work, not just the hardships of navigating this world, but also the beauty that exists.
And the association between Junebug Productions, the CAC, and Urban Bush Women?
That came about 25 years ago. I was just a struggling artist at that time and not in the position that I'm in right now, which is very interesting because I remember just being a community member at the time and knowing that this dance company was here. And in fact, as a young dancer myself, seeing this dance company helped me to see the possibility of what might happen for myself in terms of dance and inside of a dance community. So it's funny that we're sitting down and talking about Hair and Other Stories and how identity could be linked to lots of things. In the dance world, identity can be linked to body type. And for myself as a young, struggling artist, this was the first time that I saw a dance company full of beautiful Black women whose bodies, shapes represented mine. But then even more, as we dug further, we saw the substance of the dance company and of the artistic director, Jaole, in the work and the process of how they created their work was intriguing. So for me as an artist and seeing that happen was really monumental. For the city, I think that it was an incredible time. It was a 3-month-long residency. And in fact, that residency has really been instrumental in shaping Urban Bush Women's process for working and engagement in communities.
Now, this evening-length performance, Hair and Other Stories, also has roots, no pun intended, here in New Orleans. Tell us about the stories and how it incorporates our city.
Junebug and the Contemporary Arts Center are signed on not just as presenters, but as commissioners of this work. I think a lot of stories that show up inside this work are not stories that are unique to anyone from New Orleans per se, but I do think that there's a little bit of flavor of New Orleans that's there. We'll definitely see ourselves reflected in the work.
Let's go back to the first work, Hair. This was a work that came about in the early 2000s that's now being continued?
Yes. The earlier iteration was Hair Stories and originally conceived by Jaole Zoller and by Elizabeth Heron. And that was in 2001. This one is a radical reimagining of that. And to be more inclusive, looking at Hair and Other Stories, understanding that there are many other stories that stem from us looking at some of the social things that we have to navigate through the lens of hair. I know it sounds strange, but as a Black woman sitting here and thinking about that, I have all kinds of stories that are linked to my hair, that are linked to my relationship to my mother, relationship to my father, stories of sitting down and letting somebody be in my hair.
Touch your hair.
To touch my hair is a really intimate act and one that doesn't happen often. You don't let somebody just rub your head. That's a weird thing. There's a boundary that's set when it comes to hair. But even in my relationships, I've had lots of different hairstyles. And so one hairstyle will require me going to a more woman-centered space to have my hair braided. And another, when I was really bald, was going to a barber. That was a different social experience, being on the inside of a barbershop and being a woman. I felt like I had a little bit of insight to men and how they thought about things. But it is sort of the same. We sit down and talk about all of our social issues in these spaces in a very open way.
And how do we tell these stories through dance?
Urban Bushwomen is really masterful in the way that they tell these stories with the use of the body. It's amazing.
Now, what are the other issues that are being explored?
Race, body, which is, of course, apropos to just dance being the vehicle, issues of identity, gender, all of these things are kind of uncovered and highlighted and explored through this performance vehicle.
And they're particularly important at this point in time.
Self-love, healing, particularly joy for Black folks and how we express joy. We live in a time that sometimes that is looked at as a threat and not as a radical act of self-love. These are very trying times, and it's almost a revolutionary act to just be a person in the world and say that I'm going to commit to healing. I'm going to commit to loving myself and loving my community, loving me and all my imperfections. That is the times that we're living in right now. So this piece is particularly timely.
Now, they are called Urban Bush Women, but I believe there is a man in the troupe.
We joke about that. We always say Urban Bush, whoa, man. But yes, there is a man in the troupe. And actually, he's not the first man. There's also one white woman. You can see how these stories are going to be varied as you look at hair and stories associated with hair through their lens.
What is the ultimate goal of the Urban Bush Women as they shed light on issues of justice, fairness, and equality?
It is through the work that we put out as artists that people see themselves and can attach themselves to this work and be able to more fully realize how they can navigate this crazy world that we live in. In lots of ways, the work that we do are calls to action for some.
Event spokeswoman and Junebug Productions Executive Artistic Director Stephanie McKee, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The CAC and Junebug Productions present Urban Bush Women, Hair and Other Stories. Performances run at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street, Wednesday, January 24th through Sunday, January 28th. There is an after party Friday, January 26th. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.